of members, morning, ladies and gentlemen.
No problem.
You are welcome to the meeting. We were taking some.
Where's the best place for me to put the
presentation of the annual report? And then later on, also. The CEO was there yesterday when we received the annual report, not the annual report, but the report of the Auditor General. I don't know who was accompanying the CEO.
I can introduce them.
You had another official from St. Parks. Yeah, the lady there. We know that the report of the Auditor General pointed to regression in the audit outcomes of the department and the entities, including SANParks. So we had discussed that issue yesterday. And we had asked that the department must send us a management report from the Auditor General. So likewise, we are going to do the same with SANParks, that we should receive the management report so that we can identify the issues raised by the AG and then be able to try and follow them up. Because one of the things that AG said about the committee is that we have also regressed in our duty of holding the department and the entities to account. So yesterday we took a resolution that we must do things differently, because we also don't want to be said to be failing in our duties of exercising oversight, ensuring that there is accountability by the department and its entities. So going forward, we are going to do things differently. You are going to find yourself having to come to Cape Town to brief us on particularly issues that the Auditor General has concerns about. So you are going to see a lot of these faces very regularly going forward. But of course, welcome, Sishoni. You were not here yesterday. We got your apology that you are attending the IMC. Welcome. We have not been introduced to the board, so we don't know who's who, so we are going to ask that we get to be introduced to the board if there are board members in attendance, and then the rest of the management, and then we can be taken through the presentation. Apologies, there's some apologies here. There is an apology from the DG. Who won't be able to attend, but they will be represented, the department will be represented by the CFO and team. I guess the team includes Shoni. So that's the only apology that we have received. Okay, and from the members is Dr. Luyenge, Honorable Nyambi, Nkunu, and Gekana. They are attending other committees. I see the hand there.
Sorry, Chair, I just want to remind you that the DM's apology, if you look at the letter, is standing for 3 days.
Okay, yes, the DM is not feeling well. She's booked off sick. And is that apology, CEO?
Yes, Chairperson, I saw a letter from our chair that was directed to you extending an apology. I was saying, Chair, I saw a letter from the chair of our board addressed to you extending an apology. I'm not sure what happened between the board secretary, perhaps, and Chileka, but I did see the letter addressed to you, Chair.
Did you see the letter? Did you get the letter? Well, I haven't received the letter, so I don't even know who's the chairperson, so...
I'll follow up, Chair, but I did see the letter. Thank you.
What is it saying?
It's an extended apology. She was abroad. She just landed, I think, only yesterday. She's got prior commitments. That's what is in the letter. But we do have a board member, chairperson, that is here representing the board.
All right. Okay. Over to you. You'll then introduce who's here and then take us through the presentation.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Tasnim Esop, and I'm representing the board in this meeting today. You would have heard that the chair was traveling and just arrived yesterday, so she's asked me to represent the board. I'm newly appointed. There's a new board, I've also been appointed as the chair of the Audit and Risk Committee for the current board. Firstly, the chair and committee members, on behalf of the Sandparks board and the staff of Sandparks, we would like to again express our condolences on the passing of Minister Molewa. I understand there was a minute of silence yesterday. We would like to add our condolences to that. Chair, as you know, this board was newly appointed. In fact, the minister appointed us in August of this year. There are two members of the previous board who have been reappointed, and the chair, Mr. Anne Yawich, was reappointed in the position of chair of the board. This current board is committed to continuing the work that the previous board did and to build on that to improve the functioning and the performance of Sandparks as an entity. We are currently engaged in a process of reviewing and revising the 5-year strategic plan of Sandparks, and we look forward to the engagements in this committee session, especially to look at areas where we can enhance and improve our existing performance. Chair, I will hand over to the CEO, who will introduce the team. That's the executive team that's with us here today, and I would like to say that as a board member, I also look forward to the engagements for this committee.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable members, today we have the executive of Sandparks accompanying me to present to this committee. Let me introduce...
Is it only me or... your voice is a bit low.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The next to me, Chairperson, on my left is Ms. Jill Banding-Fender. Is the GM for strategy development. On my right here is the CFO, Mr. Dumisani Dlamini. He was with us yesterday where we listened to the presentation of the AG report, Chairperson. Okay. That side, they will just lift their hands, Chair, as I call their names. The COO, Ms. Liz McCourt. And then next to Liz McCourt, we have...
COO,
Chief Operating Officer. And then next to Liz McCourt is Habila Sello, who's heading Marketing and Tourism and Communications in Sandparks. Next to her chair is Dr. Luthando Tziba, who is the head of conservation and science in Sandparks. Next to him is Mr. Property Mukwena, who's heading other 18 national parks except Kruger. And then at the corner there, Chair, is Mr. Glenn Phillips, who's heading Kruger National Park. Therefore, the World Expo Chairperson is here for this annual report presentation. Chair,
okay.
Chair, in your back, and honorable members, you'll see there's a presentation that I will be taking you through that we sent, I think, last week at the correct deadline. But what we did yesterday, we thought, let us attach a narrative where it's giving more details, because the report is a bit high level. Therefore, I would like as the members of the committee listen to me, they can also refer to the narrative, which is a presentation that we also attached today. We kept that one high level. I suppose in OPEX, you're supposed to also have the actual annual report, of which members of the committee, if they want to engage on any matter that might not be in the presentation, that is in the annual report, we will engage. Can I go to the first slide? In terms of the outline of the report, we will be talking to SANParks mandate, followed by the national priorities and what we consider when we do we prepare our reports. We'll talk quickly on the vision and mission of the organization, and then we shared strategic goals of the organization. We also described what each goal means, our strategy map quickly, which is a summary, and then we go to the annual performance report, where I will be only reflecting on what has been achieved, what is not achieved. Therefore, we use the dashboard in the presentation, which is not in the actual annual report. And then the CFO will take us, the committee, through the financial performance of the organization and also the audit report, the things that we need to fix moving forward. Next slide. All members, the mandate of SANParks is derived from the Act, the Protected Areas Act, number 57 of 2003. Our mandate is to conserve, protect, control, and manage these national parks and other defined protected areas and their biological diversity. We are a Schedule 3A public entity in terms of the BFMA. The next slide, honorable members, I'm just sharing to say this mandate is loaded. It's about everything we need to do in order to achieve the loaded mandate. When it comes to conservation, we deal with the ocean and land. We have a mandate there. We have marine protected areas. We also have the terrestrial portion. We are also managing 20 billion infrastructure, which is aging, but there's new infrastructure being built. We are expected to grow our tourism revenue. We need to look at health issues of both wildlife and our staff. We do also provide our own emergency services in cases of floods, storms. We have our own air wing. We manage planes because in protecting and managing parks, we need to have that specialized capability. We also deal with wildlife crime, as no honorable members. We deal with firearms. We do work with the defense force and the police. We do some of the covert operations in doing our work because we need to be able to stop the crime. We also provide some traffic services within our national parks to control speed and congestion of the cars. We also do community development, enterprise development. We need to contribute to the wildlife economy as a program of government. We deal with issues of human settlement of our own staff. We deal with issues of land claims because claimants have become shareholders as the claims being settled. We also need to look at the issues of relations with the municipalities. In terms of our strategy, just a quick context, We are informed by the Constitution, informed by the NDP, informed by the MEAs, your CBD, your CITES, your RAMSA, your IBES, even climate change. We are also aligned to the outcome 10 of government under sustainable development. Again, we are also get mandate from the Act, both Biodiversity Act, Protected Areas Act. We do have other legislations which are not part of the sector that we must always align, like your veterinary services, disease control. We need to observe those. We do look at other considerations as we develop our plans, like the issue of local communities, priorities at a provincial level, the issue of poverty, inequality and unemployment, issues of climate change impact, and also the complex compliance environment. As I indicated in the loaded minded, we need to comply with all of those things informed by other pieces of legislation. Next slide. In terms of our vision and mission, our vision is about managing a system of national parks connecting society. This is the vision for now, but as the board look at the new five-year strategic plan, we are looking at the vision. It might be revised next time we come here, but for now it stands as it is. In terms of the mission, is also a lot is about developing, expanding, managing, promoting this system through innovation and best practices for the just and equitable benefit of current and future generations. In terms of the goals, honorable members, we have four strategic goals. One, which is the core, is about sustaining the conservation asset, which is national parks, the wildlife that is there, ecosystems that is there, and other systems. Goal two is about a diverse tourism product, because our engine to grow revenue and support conservation. Goal three is about socio-economic development and equitable progress.
CEO, can't you go directly to the performance information?
Okay, sir. Thank you, Chair. Chair, on this one slide, in the narrative, is on page 9, 10, and 11. In terms of expanding the conservation estate, we have achieved 3,847 hectares added to the national park system in the year reported. We have participated in all relevant PAKISA task teams. As you know, members, there's a PAKISA for MPAs, there's a RHINO, there's a biodiversity lab. We participated and were contributing to all of those initiatives. In terms of fossil fuels, we wanted to determine a baseline for our national parks to understand the fuel consumption. The only area where we lagged a bit, we saw an increase in the Kruger National Park consumption of energy by 2.2%. Therefore, it was linked to issues of heat and also our generators and our refrigerators, but we're fixing those things. But we saw a decrease in terms of the water use. In terms of effectiveness of managing protected areas, we had a target of 67%. We have achieved 71%. Coupled with that, we have a state of biodiversity baseline, which was achieved at 58%, and a state of area integrity, whereby we try to assess each part of each park to determine the integrity. We talk about security, risk issues, and issues of crime. Therefore, we've done 45 state of area integrity in 18 national parks the year reporting. But in the narrative, honorable members, it's there in detail. It is in slide also 9, 10, and 11. Next one, honorable members, is around rehabilitation of land, removing alien invasives. His slide is under the narrative, is 13 and 14. There, under initial clearing, we achieved 44,000 hectares of land. On the follow-up, we've done 199. The follow-up is an area that has been cleared already, but they grow. You must follow up and clear again. That's why the number is so high. In terms of the cubic meters on wetlands, we achieved more than 6,000. In terms of full-time job equivalent, which is slide 27, we have created 7,109 jobs. The money we spent in supporting SMMEs in our budget is 231 million. We have supported 733 SMMEs in the year reporting. If I can move to the next slide. All members, I think I want to indicate there's a mistake on the left of this pie chart. It was supposed to be red because we said in our APP, we want to see a 32% decrease in arrests, people transgressing on key species. That thing can go either way, because if you see a decrease, it could mean that people are complying with the law. They are not poaching species or harvesting species illegally. But the way we crafted was say we want to see a decrease. Therefore, we saw a decrease of 32%. And also the reduction in fines, they call J fines. You issue many fines to people. Some are a warning, some must come and rectify. We wanted to see a reduction of 13.9. Therefore, those two supposed to be read on all members. If you see in the narrative, we try to explain that wall read there on slide 17. We have our other national parks where we have rhinos. We said there shall be no killing of rhinos in the six national parks. We are still lucky for now. There's been no killing, but there's been lots of arrests in those national parks. In the next slide, we did come with what I call threshold, because we need to say how many numbers of animals should be killed in a particular year before you become extremely concerned. Therefore, it's about the number of animals. If I can go through the slide there, under rhinos, the southwestern black rhino, we said 8 for the year, but we ended up with a 0. And on the southern central black rhino, we said 36, but we ended up with 40. We said 40, but we ended with 36 being killed, apologies. And on the white rhinos, those are the most killed animals because they are in abundance, especially in the Kruger National Park. We have exceeded by 5.9% because our target was 440. We lost 466. When it comes to elephants, again, we determine a threshold there. For the garden route, we said not more than 4, but there were no killings in the garden route areas. In the Kruger National Park, we have 74, but we have lost, we had 120, and then we have lost 74. In Mapungupe, we said 1, we lost 0. In Marakele, we said 2, we lost 0. In Ado, we targeted 4, but we also lost 0. On the SICAD management plan, we have a threshold. We have implemented all the activities around SICADs. Quickly on the research, we do focus on projects that are essential to SANParks. We achieved 79.6% there. Under peer reviewed, we had 52 peer reviewed publications done by our scientists. And then we hold an international savanna science network event in Kruger National Park. As you know, honorable members, Kruger National Park is 4 million hectares of savanna. There's a lot of research that needs to be done there. Therefore, we hold this annual international event where we bring scientists across the globe to discuss issues of research. The Kutu Journal has celebrated 60 years of its existence. Next slide is on tourism. We saw a growth of 12.6% in tourism, honorable members, from 1.4 to 1.6 billion. Total number of visitors to national parks has grown by 5.1%. We moved from 6.6 to 7 million visitors. Our customer satisfaction index, we do measure complaints and compliments, were at 8.8%. And then the use of the black visitors has grown in terms of our observation. Chair will come and explain that one at the right time, because it's a finding from the AG, these black visitors, how we measure them, how we calculate them. But for us, for now, our observation are telling us that the numbers of black visitors, both overnight and day visitors, is growing in national parks in terms of our observations at our gates. The next one, honorable members, which is in the narrative, I think it's slide 25. We have developed new products because as we grow our national parks, you must also grow new products to diversify. In the list, there, Chair and honorable members, there's Grand Rouge Gorge in Zipline in Tsitsikamma, Selati Bridge in Kruger National Park. The list is there of the new products that we are developing in our national parks. We have developed a tourism growth strategy. We are busy this year developing how do we finance the tourism growth strategy. Therefore, you'll see that in our current year APP. We're busy with that. In the next slide, honorable members, we were ambitious to develop an integrated transformation strategy. This is a big work where we want to say in the organization, what is the strategy from procurement, from BE, from new entrants in the business of SANParks. Therefore, we're developing that. But we have identified 7 pillars in doing that work. Therefore, we'll bring that strategy again to the committee once it's finalized. On wildlife economy, we have loaned 19 beneficiaries of animals. We also, the disease-free buffaloes, the project that was launched by the president when he was doing Parks Week in the Venda area. We have also supported the Komani-san with 65 different heads of playing game. That was the second batch of animals was supporting that community. They are doing well, honorable members. They reported to us that their revenue for last year was close to a million. We also do the social legacy projects where we do labs to the schools for science and maths students. In the next slide, it is about socioeconomic development. We have developed a beneficiary scheme for the Kruger claimants. That scheme was approved by the board. We have presented it to the communities. They have accepted, although they were demanding more. But we managed to stack a deal to say, this cake will grow. Therefore, we do have now a beneficiary scheme with the community. It will be launched soon. In terms of participation of students in our program, that area members, it's red there because I reported previously that Department of Education, they are saying our program cannot coincide with the syllabus. Therefore, we need to try to bring students for kids to our parks during school holidays. It's not always easy for parents because they want to take the kids away, but we're attempting to address that. In terms of media release, we had a balanced media reporting around Sand Parks. Our Parks Week, again, it has grown by 24% year on year. We did launch another one this same September. We'll report on the growth in the next financial year. In the next slide, quickly, in terms of human resources, 59% black as a percentage of management is green there. We reported on women as part of management. We had our target, but Parliament said you must put at 50. But now we're at 38.5, but in the new APP, we have put at 42%. But we do have a five-year plan to roll out, because sometimes the team of 10 of people come and leave. There's also a women's forum to say Sand Parks should be attractive to women to join. In terms of people with disability, we did well. Male to female ratio is still a challenge. It's linked to that one of women as part of management. Therefore, it's yellow, but we're improving there. In terms of the skilled staff or members, we have spent 14.4 million of our payroll on skills development. We have also embarked on leadership development, whereby we send to university 56 emerging managers. They have graduated this year, and also sent 3 executives. They have also graduated. In terms of CCM cases, we were chair and members. I think we're doing well there, because if we're taking CCMA, we win our cases. It shows that there's fairness in terms of corrective actions, and also we're doing some training in terms of people understand the rights, the roles, and responsibilities. The staff turnover rate is very low. We do have loyal staff. They stay, they don't move. Because the average, if you look at other sectors, even private sector, it's about 7%. But for us, we are at 1%. Therefore, they stay a lot in our national parks. I think it's because of the environment they work in, rural environment. Therefore, they don't have other jobs. In terms of improving business processes in that light, we are improving our IT systems in terms of connectivity, in terms of integration, business processes, automation, and also to go paperless. I think COO will explain further in this area of IT. It's an area we need to improve, even in our gate system. But if you go our gate, you chew for almost an hour before you are in, because the systems are very slow. Therefore, we need to improve people coming into our national parks. The issue of revenue and HR costs, the CFO will unpack in detail this area in his presentation, honorable members. The last slide in this area is around collecting our revenue, especially from concessionaires. You can see we are red in terms of debtors. We have one area where a concessionaire was not delivering. He still owes us about 4.5 million. We have been through a court process. We are still following up before we decide to write off that amount. But we are pursuing collecting the money. In terms of our paying of our creditors, we do pay them. And then in terms of fundraising, we fundraised 34.6 million, but we haven't reached our ambitious target of 50.4 million. It's one area we need to strengthen. Chairperson, I will leave it here for now. The CFO will come in to the finances and AG.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to Chairperson and honorable members. I will start off by the slide that talks about financial position, which is the next slide. This really talks to the health of the organization. You will see that our asset base has grown. I mean, if I start with your current asset, and the biggest portion of it, which is our bank balance, has significantly grown by 400 million from 1.3 billion to about 1.7. That is about 29% growth in our cash resources. This is followed by our non-current assets, which include property, plant and equipment. That also has grown from about 2.5 billion to about 2.9, which is 13%. You see that the total assets that we have within the organization have reached the upward of 4.7 billion in the financial year that ended 31st March 2018. Now, if I move to liabilities, you will notice that our liabilities have grown by 16%, from 1.3 billion to about 1.5. Just want to clarify there that it's bulk of it, it's really not necessarily what we owe people, but it's a means of accounting. I mean, if you look there, you've got about 814 million of unspent grant. These are conditional grants that we receive for our special projects, where we recognize the revenue as we recognize expenditure. So it's money that we have in the bank account. The reason why we actually record it as a liability, because it's the money that doesn't belong to SANPARK. And should the department require us to return this amount, we'll be able to do so. And the next biggest line item there, you will notice that it's our employee obligation, which is a post-retirement medical aid. This is what we owe in terms of the liability looking after those people for their lifetime. You'll see that it also has grown from about 496 million to about 552. Overall, the organization has got a very healthy balance sheet, noticing in particular in the next slide that's a summary of our organization, which has a net worth of 2.2 billion. Technically, it means that all our assets exceed liabilities. So we are quite solvent, and we are a going concern as an organization. The other current asset is small. It's made up of those small amounts, which I wouldn't touch on it. Moving to a statement of financial performance, which is your income statement, and again there, if you see the level of revenue, how the organization is doing, at a total level, our revenue have grown from 1.8 billion to about 2 billion. And I'm talking purely on exchange revenue, which means it's what we generate as an organization, excluding the one that we receive from the state. That's different of, it amounts to about 190 million, which is a move from the previous year to the current year, which equates to about 10%, and I'm going to come to that percentage in a moment. The biggest portion of it is our tourism income, concession, etc., which has amounted to about 1.9 billion from a mere 1.7 billion in the last year. So that has grown about 204 million with a percentage of about 12%. Honorable members, you will notice that the grant is doing the opposite. As we strengthen our financial measures to grow more, the grant has been declining from government because of all the pressures that the fiscus is experiencing at this point in time. It does have a couple of things, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Moving to expenditure within the statement of financial performance, you will notice that our expenditure has actually increased from 2.1 billion to about 2.3. That is a 9% increase in expenditure. And the biggest part of the expenditure, you'll see that in people cost, which is our single largest line item, has grown from 1 billion to about 1.1 billion, which equates to about 93 million, and it's 9%. While our operating expenditure, we experience quite a significant growth from 797 million to about 915, which equates to about 118 million increase and 15%. The point that I wanted to make is that as much as our expenditure has been growing, it's been growing at 9% on average, while revenue is growing at 10%. And honorable members, that's what we would like to do. We wouldn't like a situation whereby our expenditure being overtaken by revenue, because we use revenue to cover our expenditure.
So you say the The first line item is what percentage of the total expenditure?
So the single largest.
The first line item on employees.
50. It's 51%.
Or 51%.
Yeah. So our target, which we're given by the board, is 53%. Mm-hmm. We are trying to contain it at 51% at this moment.
Okay.
Yeah. Moving to the next slide. There, honourable members, we tried to actually show in a pie chart the extent of how our revenue is split. As indicated in the slide, our revenue from exchange transaction, which is the things that we sell, including gate taking, accommodation, etc., bulk of it, which is tourism income, it accounts for about 82% of our revenue, while 18% is received from grant. This is purely on operations income, because we do receive special grant, but that relate to capital project that we are dealing with. In the next slide, we are now showing, Chair, even though we are presenting 17-18 financial year, but we thought it would be good to give honourable members a picture of how we've been doing in the last 5 years of our financials. You will see that in the last 4 or 5 years, our revenue has been growing steadily, shown in a bar chart of green, while it gives a clear indication in the blue how our revenue has been declining from the state. So there is a need for us to intensify all our operation in order to grow our revenue base, given the fact that government will be giving us less. And I don't see this picture changing in the next few years. If I may just help honorable members, I mean, our budget cut over the MTF period is about 44 million. So we have to make sure that we contain our costs as well as we maximize our revenue. On the same page, we are also narrating our expenditure, and it does give you a sense, as I've indicated in my previous slide, that the single largest line items in our financial statement is employee-related cost, followed by operating costs, which we use to run our business. Now, honorable members, I'll be moving to the audit finding, which was a discussion of yesterday. For the year under review, we received an unqualified audit opinion for 17-18. There were two issues that actually prevented us from getting a clean audit, and I just want to talk to them. One of them, which has been briefly highlighted by the CEO, which is a verification on information with regard to the black visitors. The Auditor General have actually highlighted it as a material finding, in that case, which then prevent you from getting a clean audit status. And the second item is a growth on irregular expenditure, which also has been regarded or classified as a material non-compliance to the legislation, so which has also affected our clean audit status. And I just need to indicate that it's not irregular expenditure that has happened recently. Some of it, we're busy with the cleanup and we're discovering these things. And in terms of the PFMA, is that you have to report it in the year in which you've discovered it, even though it happened in previous years. Okay. In the following slide, it's what I've indicated.
Okay, can you just explain that one?
Okay. If as a CEO, CFO, I discovered that there was an irregular expenditure that relates to 2008 and 2009. The fact that I've discovered that irregular expenditure, I have an obligation to report it.
Okay, and just give us and be then specific. Condone. Let's just not be general. Be specific on this one that was raised by the AG.
Okay. So it would be contract, for example, if there's a contract that was entered into between 2005 and 2008.
CFO, can you be specific? Not, for instance, if there is something, just tell us what the issue was on this one.
On the specific audit findings?
Yes.
Okay, I'll give you examples. So
not example, give us the specific situation, what happened.
Okay, it's many transactions, Chairperson, that
okay.
make up an amount of 6 million.
Okay.
That's why I want to give a classification, because I don't have specific amount, but there are instances where it's raised by the Auditor General where a tax clearance certificate has expired. Because the tax clearance certificate has expired, then it's classified as irregular. There's also transaction whereby the contract approval amount has been exceeded. So we continue using the service provider even though the contract has expired. Then it's classified as irregular. So all of those, they amounted
okay.
to about...
Okay, do you have a separate submission on matters that were raised by the HG?
I can open an audit report if you want me to go to specific items, Chair. If you'd like, I can open the audit report, then
okay.
I can take you through that.
We can also do Chairperson on, because on those declared irregular expenditure, some dates back 2009, we can produce a separate report for the specific incidents. He was just highlighting that on contracting, we had a problem whereby you contract for 9 million, but
okay.
the bill ends up at 15 million. We can bring those details.
Yeah, you see, we want to... I thought you've got it now, because the department did give us theirs, although
okay.
we had issues yesterday with them. There is an audit, the matter of emphasis raised by the AG. For instance, contract exceeded. The amount which was contracted for was exceeded. I think there was something like that with Sandparks. Now you raise that, the issue that was raised by the AG and the response of the department, because we don't want to be general. We want to say this is the issue raised, this is our response to it, and then we can evaluate whether that response is adequate or what.
Okay. Chair, if I may take you through, there were awards which were procured without inviting at least a minimum of 3 quotations. That's also classified as irregular expenditure. There were 3 quotations to the value of 374 which were procured to suppliers whose tax matters had not been declared to the by the South African Revenue to be in order. There's 1 quotation of a supplier who did not quote the lowest price. The last incident, it was awarded to a bidder who did not submit a declaration whether they were employed by the state or connected to any person employed by the state. Those were transactions. So what we have done, we have actually drafted an audit action plan to make sure that we tackle with this. The last one that I've highlighted, Honorable Chair, we are having a difficulty in dealing with it, and we've actually sought the assistance of the Auditor General. This one, where a particular bidder does not declare that he works for another state organ. If the person has failed to declare on the SPT form, it's very difficult for us to be able to establish that, because it really boils down to honesty. And it's going to be difficult even to detect those going forward, because you rely on the information that has been provided by a service provider in order to adjudicate. Can I proceed?
Proceed to where? I mean, we're waiting for you to give us the response to each of the issues raised by the AG. Unless if you are not ready with that, with that response.
Our response to the Auditor General.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible? Is it possible that I can provide with a detailed feedback on how we responded to them?
When do you want to do that?
We can do it as early as next week, Chair. And provide the committee with a detailed response.
Chair, perhaps you have a couple of meetings as they audit. For example, they'll come and meet CFO on finances. They ask questions, you provide, they say we're happy. They come and brief me in terms of the progress. On performance, they meet her and the COO. But all those responses, Chairperson, are recorded, because each time they write back to you to say, we are missing this information, supply, until they do a finding. Perhaps we can provide that in the action management report in detail, Chairperson.
You see, I don't know whether maybe you are not ready to come and present the annual report to us, or what is the situation, because part of the annual report includes the report of the Auditor General, and one would expect that, like you've got a slide on the AG's report, you will detail the issues raised and the responses of SANParks. Whip, do you want to make a proposal?
We
are not yet on the discussion of the actual issues, just how do we deal with this issue of the AG?
I thought when you consistently said you needed information, it's for the purposes of us engaging with the information here and not receiving a report when we are outside a meeting. Because perhaps still we may still need you to come and actually report. The purpose for going to specific cases is for us to understand whether indeed the Auditor General's findings and your response to that is accurate and we are turning the corner. And exactly what is it that the nature of the problems. So you cannot highlight them in a manner that we don't understand, because generalities, you know, can always be understandable until you get to the specific case or detail, what exactly happened and whether your systems are such that certain things can be avoided, you know. Like, well, you are arguing that some of the things did not happen during your term, whatever, whatever. I don't want to get to that. But the mere fact that your systems did not pick it up until the Auditor General had to come in and pick that up, it's an issue to us. Because some of the things must be handled in-house, you'll be able to resolve the problems even before the AG arrives. You know, so we must be assured from where we are that the entity is running its issues in a manner that conforms to good governance, to whatever grab policies or accounting policies and so on and so on, so that some of these things do not recur. And we must engage with you here on those issues without receiving a report somewhere when you are not here. We want to interact with you on the basis of that particular report. So I thought that's what the chair is driving at, to say, give us information so that we are able to engage you on that. We are able to account, in fact, per case. You know. And if it's resolved, then we'll be fine with that. It mustn't create an impression that you are hiding something and so on. And it must be declared that we received a report when, in fact, we did not receive a report. Thanks.
Okay. Honorable Perry.
Okay. Yes, I'm largely covered, the chair, but I just want to re-emphasize the presentation reads unqualified audit opinion, but it doesn't say with findings. So we need honesty in these presentations, and I think based on what we heard yesterday, in future these reports must, if there's findings, we must the findings must be included in these reports, and I think that's what I would like to suggest and support what has been said previously. We need honesty here. We need honesty in the presentation, because there's a difference between an unqualified with no findings and an unqualified with findings. So it looks great in the presence of unqualified audit opinion, but there are findings, but which are not reported in this report.
You understand, as a CFO?
Chair, I do understand. First, maybe let me start by the last comment that has been made. You will see that on there's a first slide on the Auditor General where we indicate about unqualified audit opinion. Then further below, then we start talking about visitors, and we say there were two findings, and one of them, which is black visitors. Those are the two material findings which I've already covered. One was black visitors. The second one was on expenditure management. Those are the two material findings that actually cause us not to get unqualified without finding. So it is in the presentation, Chair. Mm-hmm. But I want to come back to what has been raised by the honorable member as well. 95% of irregular expenditure that has been reported in our audit report have been detected by management. AG only fined 5%.
Mm.
So we do have controls, and as I've indicated, we are on a cleanup to make sure that we surface these things. As we surface these things, we are making sure that we follow proper protocol to National Treasury to condone them, because we also want them to be condoned. But not only that, we are also on the drive, and it's in our management report, but if the chair wants me to read the management report, what we responded, I can do that. I was of the opinion, because the chair actually requested the audit report, that we will provide that, because we've heard from yesterday that the chairperson would like to get not only the audit report, but the management report as well, which we will provide. And all our responses are contained in that document. However, if you want me to...
Just go through them, on the findings.
Okay. So let me take the one on irregular expenditure with regard to SCM process is not being followed, which results in irregular expenditure. And there's a cluster of transactions there. I'm gonna take you through. It's a catering of 500 people at Jilamba Community Hall, which was for a community meeting. It was catering for 500 people at Kamshushwe Church on the 3rd of May 2017. It was catering of Giyani Community Hall for 500 people on the 21st of April 2017. And the service providers who were actually involved was Happy Madume Fast Food and Catering, Savu Trading, Poshi General Trading. On the second one, it was Grenade Business Enterprise. The second service provider was Maingene Trading. The third one was Poshi General Trading. On the last one, which were on the catering in Giyani, it was Savu Trading, it was Maingene Trading, and it was Poshi General Trading. The service provider that were actually appointed in these three meetings was Happy Madume Fast Food for 47,500. It was Agrinet Business Enterprise for 67,500. And the last one was Savu Trading for 55,000. Now, the Auditor General have actually indicated that the internal control deficiency was a lack of planning by end users that lead to SCM processes not being followed, which then results in irregular expenditure. Our response, in fact, let me start with the recommendation of the Auditor General. Supply chain management must implement monthly plan wherein end users are required to submit their requisition in advance to SCM team in reasonable time frame to source quotation and allow SCM process to be adhered to. There must be a process in place of approving deviation from official procurement processes and implement a management checklist review by senior official and register all deviation must also be kept to ensure accountability of all deviation. Now, our response. The quotation was sourced outside the SCM section by People and Conservation Department. The People and Conservation team did not source sufficient quotation from the areas where consultants were taking place. The quotation were sourced from rural communities within the boundaries of KNP to ensure that there was a community beneficiation for the catering services during the park management plan community consultation process. The challenges that faced during the procurement of service providers for the park management community consultation were the following. For the events that are taking place in communities, it is important to use suppliers from the communities. However, most of these suppliers in the communities are not registered in the CSD. And furthermore, which is a central database in National Treasury. And this database ensures that people are complying with their tax affair, their bank accounts are validated, and all other CPRIC information is also registered there. Okay, some of them are not tax compliant, and therefore making the pool of suppliers.
Okay, can you go to the next one?
Can I? Okay. Okay.
So you've got details of the winning contract not published?
Yes.
That's one of the findings?
Correct.
You've got a declaration of interest not submitted?
Yes.
You've got a preference point system not applied or incorrectly applied.
Correct.
You've got the suppliers' tax affairs not in order.
Yes.
As part of the SCM findings.
Correct, Chair.
Yeah, but go through your list there.
Okay. So in terms of the service providers where they identified which were not published after they've been awarded, it's a tender GNP /041/16, which is a rental installation and maintenance of vehicle monitoring system, and a bid which was for 5 years and it was awarded to Amazon the Fleet Services for an amount of 9.2 million. The second one was tender GNP /001/17. It was a printing of Wild magazines for Sunparks for a period of 3 years, and the award was made to CTP Printers Division of CTP Limited, and that was for an amount of about 6.6 million. Then the others were, the third one was tender GNP 00317. It was an appointment of a service provider to conduct systems, IT systems as audit services. It was it was awarded to Ngubane and Company for an amount of 992,000. Fourth one, it was tender GNP 01017. It was an appointment of a service provider for supply and delivery of fuel, which is diesel, for Tankwa Karoo National Park for a period of 3 years. It was awarded to Q2Q 27 Pty Ltd for an amount of 4.5 million. The fifth one was the tender SP GK 1106. It was construction of a science laboratory of Mtititi Secondary School in Mtititi Muhunguti in Malamulele near Kruger National Park. Service provider who won this bid was Kupi Business Enterprise / Annabelle Anujwa Group, so it was a JV, for an amount of a 1,068,000. The other one was a SPKG 0839, construction of a science laboratory at Mbuyane High School in Klau Klau Village near Numbi Gate in Kruger National Park. It was awarded to Indambi General Trading for an amount of 1,036,000. The seventh one was tender SP GK 1107. It was on construction of a laboratory service at Albert Maybeck Secondary School in Bredasdorp in Cape Agulhas in the Western Cape. It was awarded to Batsini Pty Ltd for an amount of 1,466,000. Eighth one is a tender CI VB 0028, construction of three house in Mokala National Park. It was awarded to GND Construction for an amount of 1,475,000. Yes, Mokala in Northern Cape. The other one was GNP 04316, an appointment of a service provider for supply and delivery of patrol vessels and trailer for the Titicamba Marine Protected Area in the Garden Route National Park. It was awarded to Maxine Moto Marine CC for an amount of a 1,005,000. The other one was tender CI CD 0012, road maintenance and rehabilitation of approximately 9 kilometers of surface road in Camp Debu National Park. It was awarded to ZGN Trading Simsync Holdings for a tender amount of 3,291,000. So all these findings were regarded as non-compliant with the regulation issued by National Treasury. The internal deficiency that was actually indicated was general supply chain management did not ensure that appropriate controls are implemented to ensure award preference claims and names of all builders are published in terms of National Treasury requirement as outlined above. Our response. So management had noted the audit findings, and from the testing of the sample that we have made, we've identified that that we did not publish the details of a winning bidder for the following award on our website. From testing of a sample awarded, we also identified that we did not publish the preference point that were awarded on the National Treasury in terms of the instruction of 1/20/2016 as advertised for bids and publication of award on the tender portal. But however, this instruction has been repealed. So this instruction 3.7 of National Treasury dated 31-21-11, enhancing compliance and accountability of management. So in the light of the above, the SANPARK is not expected to publish the award in its website. So what we're saying here, we're actually saying the Auditor General quoted the wrong circular in relation to this award. Chairperson.
Okay. So there's no expectation to publish the awarded bids?
Correct. So you will see that in their auditor's conclusion that management response has been noted, the repeal instruction is also noted by National Treasury. Of the awarded bid, the finding is amended and will remain as non-compliant. So they still didn't want to move even though they have noted our response. It's something that...
But what is the actual position? Is there a requirement or there's no requirement?
There's no requirement according to the latest Treasury instructions.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think perhaps the misunderstanding, Chair, was the repealing of instruction 3.7 of 2016.
Correct.
And that's where we need to find one another. If that one, the new one, was replacing the 3.7 of 2016.
Okay. I'm now moving to the next one, which was the award which was made to a supplier who did not quote the lowest quote. So the, on this one, they've quoted actually Section 51 of the PFMA, where it says accounting authority for a public entity of an appropriate procurement and provision of the which is fair, equitable, transparent, and competitive process. The following award was made to Alec Sherwood Superquick, a supplier who had not quoted the lowest quote without necessary approval to deviate from a normal supply chain management. Okay? So there were actually three suppliers that were actually quoted there. One was Alec Sherwood Superquick P2 Ltd for a quotation of 11,800. Second one was Tony Way Tires for 12,152. And the last one was Duco Bodywork for 9,572. And the internal control deficiency that has actually been mentioned is a lack of appropriate review, monitoring of compliance with applicable legislation in the awarding of contracts to a service provider, which may lead to irregular expenditure. The recommendation is the official delegated with final approval must ensure that the criteria as outlined in the STM policy is strictly complied with when awarding the contract. Management should also disclose irregular expenditure in the financial statement, which we have already done. So our response was paragraph 11 of preferential procurement regulation of 2017, in particular section 2.1F of the preferential procurement framework act number 5 of 2000 makes a provision to award a bidder who did not score the highest. Furthermore, price is not always a determining factor during the evaluation and adjudication of a specification. The bidder who quoted the lowest quote did not fully comply with the specification, hence not recommended. The lack of written motivation in passing over to the lowest bidder cannot be viewed as a deviation, as a minimum three quotations have been obtained, and due diligence was actually exercised that the bidder who complies with the specification is appointed. Chairperson, this one was a very simple matter where somebody, when we are very clear on the specification, but somebody will quote the lowest amount but will not provide exactly what you are requesting. So there's no obligation for the organization to go for the lowest quotation when you know that what you're going to get is not what you're looking for. And hence the organization was justified in actually not choosing the lowest quotation. We understand that it's something that AG didn't want to take, but we still stand by our decision on this particular matter. Now I'm going to move to the next one. I think I've concluded them, Chairperson, because now I'm moving to security management.
Okay. There was also a a finding on fraud and consequence management. Investigations took longer than 6 months. What are the details of that?
Okay. Chairperson, it's a matter between SANPARK and Nature Conservation Trust, which is a donation that we receive from Howard Buffett Foundation. And so what really happened there is the matter was presented to the board, and the board has requested an investigation before we respond to the Conservation Trust. Obviously, there was a procurement process in place, and then the investigation. What we found is that even though in our specification we requested certain areas to be covered, but as the investigation is rolling out, there's certain things that are emerging where then the service provider is also being directed to go and prep and probe more. Because now, once more information comes to your light, you can't ignore it.
But what was the investigation about?
Okay, I will allow the CEO to talk to the content of the investigation.
Chair, the investigation, we are forensic just started. I'm talking now to the normal investigation.
But what was the issue? Maybe start from the beginning.
The issue, Chair, is a long story. Mr. Howard Buffett is an American philanthropist who was keen to assist South Africa in fighting rhino poaching. What he did, he donated the money to South African National Parks, about 250 million. Am I correct? To SANPARKS. But she delegated Nature Conservation Trust to do the management of the funds with SANPARKS. A steering committee was formed, I think early 2014, because the monies, the agreement was concluded around late 2013, but the project started March 2014. From the start, Chairperson, there were issues of disagreement in terms of the pace of delivering the services, because the concern was that SANPARKS supply chain processes are too slow. I think there was an irritation already from the funder on that. But if you read all the minutes of the steering committee, this thing of slow pace keeps on coming up. And then Chairperson, in that was 2014. 2015, around June, we started looking at this thing to say perhaps there's a problem in supply chain, because they were panicking. We increased the capacity in supply chain to appoint a project manager. Around September 2015, the targets, remember, he wanted the project to be concluded in March 2016. In September 2015, it was agreed that we'll push it to end of June. By September, December, we were all on track. But in April, I must check my date here, I think it was around 29th of April, I received a letter now directed to me. Remember, it was run by a steering committee. A concern from Nature Conservation Trust saying, we are withdrawing the money because we have been not complying. Once I received that letter, we wrote back to Mr. Howard Buffett to say, can you allow us to come and explain what has happened? In that time, we were getting sense that in the steering committee itself, the reps of Nature Conservation Trust kept on changing. I think changed them 3 times. But in SANPARKS, we had the group sitting there, plus a board member, the other board, that was sitting in the steering committee. Now, he pulled the plug to say, I'm withdrawing the money. I don't care what to say. By that time, service providers were already on site, because we're putting on the Mozambique Eastern border, we're putting a seismic cable on the fence. On the western side, we're putting another seismic cable underground so that we can detect people who are crossing the line with a firearm or a panga, anything metallic you can detect from the ops room. And then his money overall was more on technology in the ops room and Majok, and also detecting the fence, the crossing of the fences in a summary. Therefore, he withdrew the money, but we had to pay the service provider because contract was signed already for people to put these things. And this thing is expensive. We had to use 100 million from our park development fund. It's a fund where when you sell animals game, it goes money to this fund to fund back in conservation. We had to spend 100 million on that. Once we're in that process, that was April, May. In July, I received another letter from Mr. Buffett saying, we can give you the money, after I wrote several letters begging him to do an audit. An audit was done, but we never given the reports, the findings of that audit. But he was saying he wanted a letter from the chair of the board acknowledging this funding, a letter from the minister, and a letter from the president. That time it was around September now, during the CITES COP. That's where we interacted with the minister. I said, Minister, can you go and beg the president to write this letter, to say acknowledge the good work we did and all of that. That one didn't fly. But the letter from the chair and the minister did go to Mr. Howard Buffett. But we didn't comply with the third one, which now is the letter from the president. What was puzzling, Chair, why we did an investigation was that we thought the Nature Conservation Trust was sandboxing non-compliance with the agreement. Now there was this letter now saying, if you give me these three things, I'll give you the money. That's where it was puzzling. And then the board said, let us do an investigation here. The investigation is pointing to say, at the steering committee meetings, not all information was disclosed. The puzzling thing, Mr. Howard Buffett is a funder. He was at times talking directly to the project manager in Sandparks. I'm not saying it was a friendship, but it was a connection. Because if you look at the background, when he came here, he met the general in Sandparks. They had the dinner. Who presented the rhino problem? He says, no, I can fund you, this thing. Therefore, the general used it was like the focal point. But there were times, Chairperson, whereby, I think because he's a billionaire, we budgeted two helicopters, one helicopter in the budget. When he saw the problem, he said, no, I can give you the money for the second helicopter, of which he did. Now, the second helicopter is not in the agreement as Nature Conservation. It's a man just comes from him to the project. Therefore, Chairperson and Forum, we're investigating all of those things because we want to go back to him to say, this is what went wrong. In the terms of reference, a letter was written to him to say, can you cooperate with us? He said, no ways, I'm gone. I've left Africa. I'm focusing my energy now in the South American issues. Therefore, Chair, this investigation now is pointing to say in the steering committee there was no sharing of proper information. We suggested to the board, let us do the forensic. The forensic, just I think we've appointed when? Or we want Treasury to approve because the service provider who did initial work, who gave us the outcome to say these were issues in the steering committee. We said to Treasury, we want to proceed, but they have forensic capacity, this company. We want to proceed appointing them to continue with the work the forensic way. To do that, post a deviation, you must go to National Treasury. They were waiting for them, Chair, to appoint in a summary, Chair.
Okay. I'm still confused. What are you investigating? Are you investigating the fact that the money did not come, or the fact that somebody did something between Nature, is it Nature Conservation Trust, in those meetings? But the money is not there, so why are you going to spend a lot of money investigating? I don't know. What are you investigating?
Chair,
are you investigating that somebody did something wrong?
Chair, we're investigating our own. Because why I'm doing this, there was an element of lack of information flow from the steering committee to EXCO to the board. Because it's a lot of money. Therefore, the information, there were areas where we were not aware that there was a letter written in June already raising a concern by the Conservation Trust. They were investigating the role of Sandparks employees, both supply chain, project managers, whoever was involved there, what was the role of Sandparks, because we want to clear the name of Sandparks with Howard Buffett, if there's anything to clear. Double Chair, we're investigating that.
But Chair, I thought what this information came from your point that there was also a finding on fraud.
Yeah.
Meaning that the real issue should be about the fraud that actually happened.
Yeah.
Not this other stuff.
Well, the Auditor General raised an issue about fraud and what is that, consequence management, something like that. And then he was saying that, let me just go there. Fraud and consequence management. That there's some investigations that took longer than 6 months. But from the explanation, I don't really see any frauds there. It might be something that involves the conduct or something, but definitely it doesn't look like there was fraud there. But anyway, let's step off that one. I think you have sufficiently.
I want to appeal, Chair, perhaps they can explain the meaning, because they got some information, perhaps they saw it as fraud. But the way the terms of reference were structured and the recommendation first come from the company, it's not yet established fraud until we finalize the forensic.
Okay.
So they can explain the difference.
All right. No, it's fine. If there's anything, we'll get a report.
Yeah.
Were you done, CFO?
Yes, Chairperson, I'm done.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that brings to conclusion your presentations.
Chairperson, we submit that in overall, the organization has achieved 72%, 17% was off target, and then work in progress is 11%. Therefore, shall we submit as our annual report? Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. Members, questions? Oh, you've already raised your questions. Honorable Peden and then Honorable Makure.
Thanks, Chair. I just think it's a sad day when you have to set a target of losing 440 rhino. Really, the target should be zero. The target should be zero. I mean, we know we're going to suffer losses, but the target should be zero, not 440. I mean, that's a sad day for me, and I think we must revisit that target. The other thing is, there's been a lot of emphasis on the black visitors. Now, I'm not comfortable with this black visitor target. So if someone could tell me, where does this come from? Where does this target come from? What is the history of this? Because I'm not comfortable with it.
Chair, thanks. I'm just thinking that some of the targets were allowed them to be there, and ultimately when the annual report comes, then
they were in the APP.
We engaged them, but it's something
we missed
that
it
we,
there.
Yes.
So, but it was in the APP, so they have to report about it.
Yes, so if we've got an issue, we may want to get that amended or something.
Mm.
But yes, I'm just saying it should be ourselves who would deal with that. But just quickly, Chair, I've got a few though. Firstly, just to say the way the annual report was reported today, I just felt, CEO, it was a bit confusing the way it was running. But we understood it. But the regression itself, just that you could not improve, it's a worrying issue generally in the organization, the department, and so on. But there are things I did not hear other than the statement that was mentioned in passing about the aging infrastructure chair, what is going to be happening, whether you have got a plan for that. It's not for the first time you are raising it, but I'm saying perhaps you may give us some assurance what is happening on it. The seven pillar transformation strategy, when is it going to be finalized? It was just to be told that when it's finalized it will come. That does not give us an assurance. Perhaps the board should work on that and just ensure that that strategy does come, because anything transformative, it's a serious issue to us. You know, we may not overemphasize it now, here and now. Perhaps we'll have other time, Chair, when they come to account on other things. Mm-hmm. But I'm just flagging it to say we must not lose track on it. It mustn't be like we have reported something, we know it will come, and then it's pushed back. You know, we would want to see it finalized quickly. And the rhino issue, poaching, or the anti-poaching strategy, every time we get some interaction with you, we want to be assured that is it successful, is it not. Is everybody playing their part in terms of the joint operations? Are we on track and so on? The declines that are mentioned, it's okay, but generally we want to understand whether everybody's doing their part. Perhaps you needed to share with us the three social legacy projects. What is the status? It's read in your report. Where are we? And the ongoing concern about the women in management. You're not doing well. And it's long that this policy has been there in government. It does seem like it will end up going beyond 50 years without us achieving this thing, and whether we're really committed to it or we're still reeling in a patriarchy, Chair. I know that when we deal with this thing, it affects ourselves as men, but it's a policy of government that we need to see movement in this regard. We want to see us achieving, and in terms of it, we must achieve certain things in our lifetime. I just hope you're hearing it, CEO. We are not raising it simply because it's there and it will be mentioned year after year. At some point, we must be seen to be achieving some of these things. You did not generate the revenue that you needed to generate, which is a concern. But, Chair, the 5% discovered by the AG, what does it mean? Does it mean one case, two cases? How much is it that it's actually referring to? The last point, Chair, water consumption, which is an issue. Do you have any recycling of water there, or you don't engage in that? Just to say, what are the other measures in terms of dealing with this issue, other than just it being based on tourists and animals consuming water? What is it that we are able to do as mechanisms to deal with it? Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Khalif, Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think Mr. Makubela was reading my mind. I was also going to raise the issue about water. What are you doing? You don't have to always resort in culling the animals there. You have to be proactive and ensure that there is sufficient water storages that are in place in the parks. The other issues of main concern to me, the material fundings that we identify on the usefulness as well as reliability of the reported performance information for SANParks. That's a concern for me. What are you doing in order to be able to address the issue that was raised by the AG? Because we need to submit information that is reliable and useful for assessments to be done. And the other issue, Chair, which the CEO forgot to mention, he said he was going to unpack how do they measure the black visitors. Please, will you explain to us how do you measure it? Or do you require visitors to put down, I'm black? It's just for interest sake. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I see the rep from AGs here. You have qualified SANParks on something that does not exist, on the requirement to publish awarded tenders on the website. What is the situation there? Is it the case or AG? I thought you are not around, but now that you are here, you can also clarify.
Chair, as we're speaking, I actually sent this that finding to my colleagues to ask them to respond, and as soon as we get a response for the chair, I will actually respond back to the committee. I wasn't directly involved in the audit of SANParks, so as soon as I get more information on the chair, we will respond back.
Okay. No, it's fine. Okay. I just have two issues myself. I'm a bit worried about that line item that continues to be a liability on your books, a contingent liability regarding some benefits that the former employees are supposed to receive. It's now increased now, I think it's about 500 million. How do you deal with that? Because for me, it continues to be a concern in your books. How do you intend to deal with that situation? And why does it keep on increasing? Because these are benefits that former employees are entitled to, but there should be some mortality rate. People, when they grow old, they naturally passes on. So you'd expect that will decrease. So what is the situation there and how are you dealing with that? The last time when we were following up on a lion that was killed, what was it called? They gave it a name. Sky. when we were dealing with the Sky that was hunted, there were issues that emanated regarding the western boundary and how you deal with that on the dropping of the fences. And we requested that SANParks must develop a document, a discussion document to be presented to us so that you can initiate a process of consulting with the affected communities and then to deal with that situation, which we thought that the private owners there of the lodges are getting lots of benefits more than the SANParks and the adjoining communities. Now, I've not received a copy of that discussion document. How far is it? Are you doing it or are you defying us? You don't want to do it? what is the situation there. Okay?
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. My colleagues are here who will deploy some of the questions one by one. On the 440 rhinos, I have a slide on the screen I want to talk to on that issue, honorable party. I think the chair, you raised more than once, even yourself, about this target of rhinos. Therefore, we have put a slide there. I'll respond to that, assisted by Glenn. On the black visitors, Mr. Patton, Honorable Patton, I'll couple that with Honorable Hadele Islimbi in terms of usefulness of performance and how do we measure black rhinos. So we'll address both on those questions. On the aging infrastructure, I will talk to that. Seven pillars, COO, quickly. Joint ops, I will do. Legacy projects, I will request COO also. And women. Fundraising, I believe you were referring to fundraising, Honorable Makubela, who said the revenue. Because in tourism, we reached target, but on fundraising, we didn't reach.
Yes.
Habula Sello will respond to that. Under investigation, I touch on it again. Water saving and recycling, Glenn will talk to that one quickly. Honorable Chair will come to yours in detail on the post-retirement. CFO will give the detail as where we are, what we are doing. On the Lion, I will talk to it in detail, what has happened, and also Glenn will add. On this slide, honorable members, We have a history of the killings of rhinos. It started as early as 2008, where we were talking of only, I think, 110 or 88.
Today,
the trend has been growing. At some point, we reached up to 800. We reached 700. We reached 605 last year. But what we are doing, we have to say, how do you work the number down? For example, we are saying 2018, but it's 12 months, it's not a financial year, January to December. We don't want to lose more than 500. But when I checked the figure of October, we are indeed working it down. But we don't want it more than that 500. But you have to put a figure that you can work from. Because if we leave it open, people are going to ask, are you working to stop what? If you look about 2020, we would like to see only 150. Therefore, we can go on and go on until we go to zero. We wish for that day zero one day. Therefore, Honorable Patton, we have a figure we put because we want to work from something. I know it's not nice to even say two or three, but the reality, poachers are entering, are attempting all the time, but we want to stop, not to go beyond the number. So when we report next year after March, we wish that figure not to be even 500. Even from January next year, we'd like to see lesser, lesser, lesser as we move forward. Okay. He wants to show end of August where we are working towards.
So this is 17 compared to 18.
I can't see the figure.
Okay. Thank you, honourable members and honourable Purden. So you can see from January to August 2017 versus 2018 in terms of rhinos poached down to 292 versus the 352 the previous year. But of course there is the component of it's harder to find rhino when there are less rhino, and that is a key element around this which we must understand. Next one. In terms of elephants poached, we're seeing the same trend, and that was of course an annual report as well, the same trend of an increase like we saw with the rhino poaching when it started. And in other words, a significant increase starting, and we're going to have to get on top of that, which means more resources, which is really happening in the north of the park, which we're going to have to challenge. Next one. In terms of poacher activities, you can see despite all the arrests we've had and despite all the challenges, the activities continue to increase year on year. So the demand is increasing. And then in terms of poachers arrested, you can see we are having more success in arresting poachers in the park with the new technologies applied. But it continues to, in other words, because of more activities, more poachers are being arrested. And then in terms of firearms recovered, recovering more firearms and taking them out of the system as well, which is also very important for us. And so if there's a poaching incident, the first person we, of course, naturally try and arrest is the person with the rifle. That's it. Just in terms
of if we can...
Excuse me, CEO. Just, may I just add one thing?
Yes,
on
one, yeah. On the
previous one, see.
On Rhino, yeah, you can add.
Okay.
No, I just wanted to explain to Honourable Pardon that the number for 40 is a number that we derive from a modelling process to estimate the threshold below which or above which the Rhino population would be sustainable in the country. The concern that we usually have is if the rate at which rhinos die or are poached exceeds the rate at which rhinos are born, that's where we then reach a threshold of concern. And this number is an expression of that rather than a number of animals that we are okay to see die. But it is a number that says that at this, once we reach this point, then we would have reached a point where we would be critically concerned about the rate at which animals are dying rate relative to the rate at which animals are born or are reproducing. And key to this is that since around 2013-14, the measures to control rhino poaching have seen have yielded positive outcomes in that the numbers of rhinos poached out of Kruger in particular has been on the decline, which is a very positive thing. But the complexity is that there are other factors that usually drive population dynamics, including drought and other population dynamics. So we just wanted to highlight that.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I also understood it like that. maybe to Honourable Pardon, it came as if you guys want the rhinos to be killed. So, but I understood it to be sort of a conservation tool,
yeah,
that you use to determine whether you must be concerned or you shouldn't be concerned about the numbers. You know the statistics, I was going to speak to it, but maybe let's allow you to finish and then we can talk to the statistics of poaching or of rhinos.
Okay.
Are you done?
No, Chairperson.
Okay.
Chair, on CEO, we'll talk to the question on black visitors of Honourable Patton, including Mr. Hartley. CEO, quickly.
Thank you, Honourable Members, Honourable Chair. In terms of the black visitors, I am going to, although the question of the orders were the order of the question was different, I'm going to deal with the entire issue, the AG finding, why we are measuring it, as well as how we are taking, how we're measuring it and how we are taking it forward. The reason why we are taking it, apart from it being in the APP, the reason why it is in the APP, I think we need to always continue to emphasize. Black people was historically excluded from national parks, visiting national parks. Currently, we still have the majority of the visitors to national parks being South Africans, but being white. So the most overnight visitors to our parks still remain white, and we try to measure the trend of improving, of redressing the accessibility of national parks as a national asset to all South Africans, inclusive of race. So we are not interested in the individual's race ever. We are interested in the trend on whether we are increasing the trend of black visitors to national parks. How we are that's the why we are measuring it. A very second reason, this is the main purpose why we're measuring it. A secondary purpose why we are measuring it is purely from an economic perspective. 73% of our tourism-related income is generated from local visitors, from South Africans to the park. We know that the demographic of those visitors are white and aging. For us to continue to be increasing our revenue from tourism, we need to attract the young black market as the new economically active people of South Africa. We therefore need to have a proxy indicator to tell us whether the interventions that we are making in our parks to attract black visitors are successful. So it's a proxy indicator for that secondary purpose. Why the AG has a problem, how do we measure it? We measure it through observation. We have followed this approach, so it's an observation by the people at the gate, literally observed, and that's why there is a margin of error involved in there. And we say, but it is accurate enough for the purposes that we need it, whether this trend is increasing or whether the trend is declining. We are not interested, I want to repeat it, in the race of any individual. That is not correct. What, however, the AG's problem with that is, and that's where the reliability come in, Honourable, is that it cannot be verified unless you link it to the individual. So we have followed the process of observation because that is how Stats SA observe. They do it purely through observation. They do not ask people to declare their race. They do it through observation. The second reason why we've done it is because it's an acknowledged scientific method of doing trend analysis. If you do it with animals, with anything, you observe certain things and you make deductions from what you observe. In terms of the AG standards, which we have sympathy for, they say that the target and the indicator, you must be able to repeat the exercise and come up with the same result. So it must be verifiable. They say our observation is not verifiable and therefore it is not reliable. We are not getting past this impasse. So we have this finding now for the second year in a row that because we cannot verify that trend, it is not a reliable indicator. We have submitted to the minister for approval a request to remove this indicator because a first repeat finding on this matter will result in a qualification. So we do not want to remove this indicator. It's a strategically important indicator to us, but we are a bit between a rock and a hard place in terms of that criteria of verifiability. So that then came through to both the actual performance on this matter as well as on the reasons provided for variation. And it's on that basis that we have a material finding on that matter. So Chair, we've undertaken to the Minister that we will not report it in the APP, but we will still be tracking this and report it in the body text of the annual report and of our quarterly reports in order to overcome the verification. Thank you.
Right. Chair will still need to be guided by Parliament. Also, Chair, we answered those two. On the flow of presentation, let me apologize, Honourable Members. We are correct on Makubela. We try to squeeze everything to make it not too many slides. Hence, we realize that let's supply the one with some text. Therefore, we'll improve again next time because I didn't want to have too many slides. That's why we use those rings. But we'll improve, Honourable Member. We acknowledge that. On regression, it's noted, Honourable Members, we need to keep on improving on this thing. On the aging infrastructure, yes, we are busy developing a financing model, or a financing strategy. how do we improve that? Because we know the amount required to check up, to overhaul the whole aging infrastructure. Therefore, we're busy with the financing strategy. I suppose if once we fully developed, because in our APP, we will share with Parliament in the normal reporting. On the seven pillars, I want quickly, CEO, on transformation.
I'll do this one very quickly, CE. This is less controversial. We are, Honourable, very, very serious about this, and this is why we're taking longer. But in March 2019, we will have the status quo completed. That is the target for the end of this financial year, is to have the status quo on each one of the seven pillars completed of what's the current state. And then in March 2020, the entire strategy will be concluded.
On the joint ops on rhinos, Honourable Makomele, I know you are referring to the structures operating there. Yes, we are working well, but to be candid, Honourable Members, in terms of who is in the cold face in contact with the poachers are the rangers. Yes, the army is there for borderline control. SAPS is there in terms of managing the joint ops. We still have challenges around equipment. For example, we use our helicopters for game capture when there's an insurgent. We'll send a helicopter, but the challenge is on crime scene management. Remember, crime scene is managed by the detectives. They don't have their own helicopter on site for them to fly and manage the crime scene and pull out. There's a difficulty with us because if a ranger was the first one to be in the crime scene, he or she must wait there until we collect subs from the base station to the site. So I'm saying I want to be candid about this one. It is a challenge. But we're engaging subs in terms of having their own helicopters for the detectives in order to be able to manage the crime scene. Yes, we're working well, but there are gaps in the. That's why we wish sometimes a joint committees can visit jointly. We can brief all of you at what both subs and defense. On the legacy projects, quickly, so.
Sorry, can you get? Hey, it's very cold in here. I'm not sure I'm the only one who's. Eh? Did you tell them? Okay. We are freezing here. We are freezing in here. Okay. Who's that?
The legacy project, quickly.
Legacy project.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. The three social legacy projects that have been concluded is the Galagash Multipurpose Playground, the Mubiwani Multipurpose Playground, and the Science Lab in Matiti. The two that have not been concluded but have subsequently been concluded is the Science Lab at Matsili Village and the Albert Moabik High School Science Lab in Bredasdorp, but they have been concluded in the first quarter of this year.
Women, next one, women.
In terms of women, Chair, we've done this exercise, and that's why the CE talks about the five-year plan. If every single vacancy in our senior management, in our management sector, is filled with a female today, we will be at 41%. We simply do not have, you see, our turnover rate is 1%. We simply do not have vacancies and growth in our establishment in order to reach that 50% target. We are, however, very serious about it, Chair. Our CEO must approve if you want to appoint a male member in any vacancy that do come up in a management position. There's a special dispensation about that. It's very strictly managed.
ME Marketing Tourism will do the fundraising. Why are we below target? Happily?
Thank you, CE.
Honourable members, we have seen quite a bit of an improvement over the past year. And what has been one of the contributing factors to our lagging behind target has been a lack of capacity in the team, the fundraising team. We have resolved that and have made a very senior appointment to head up the fundraising team. We are going to be presenting a new fundraising strategy to the board in the fourth quarter, which is sometime in January or February. And we believe that by the end of the next financial year, we will be seeing a vastly different picture and presenting a different picture to you altogether.
Thank you. Honourable Makubela, you touched again on investigations. I just want to say there are many other investigations that are being undertaken within Sandbox because of the mandate on different areas. On the water saving, Glenn will come in, but I want to couple it with Honourable Hadebe in terms of water for animals. Perhaps Dr. Zuma will come in also. The use of artificial water points for animals can be a controversial issue. There was a time where we were criticized why supplying water to animals. Because what you do, you are creating congestion and land degradation where you supply water. Therefore, you need to close certain areas so that animals can roam elsewhere for distances, so that they don't destroy the habitat around the water hole. Therefore, water management can be a controversial thing if it's not done properly. Therefore, supplying water all the time is not always a solution. You might close water to allow some mortalities to happen. But during drought, heavy drought season, we'll have to supply. Under normal conditions, we're discouraging too many water points. I want Glenn to talk about recycling because there's an element of that in Kruger National Park.
Thank you, CE, honourable members. So on the water side of things, the CE is correct in terms of the water for game. During the drought, all our rivers continued to flow during the drought due to upstream management in the catchment areas and working with the water catchment agencies. So that works very well, and water is then released from upstream catchment areas into the park. But man-made, the only areas we close are man-made areas, part of the trying to bring in traditional and natural flows of water in the rivers, particularly for other animals such as fish species that need to migrate up rivers, up river systems. And if there are dams without fish ladders to allow them to move upstream, it becomes a challenge for us. Also, due to sand mining outside the park, a lot of our dams that have been built in the river systems are actually being silted up, so there's not much water sitting in those dams anyway, and hence we want to try and remove those dam walls to allow, when we have the next big rainy season, to flush those systems and scour out those dams and wash those rivers open, which normally happens in high rainfall periods. In terms of the water provision for human consumption, from a Kruger perspective, we do the cleaning of all water out of the rivers for human consumption ourselves. The aging infrastructure is a problem for us because we have a lot of underground leakages, which we have to try and pick up because some of our piping is over 40 to 50 years old. That becomes a problem on the one hand. And the other key issue for us is to ensure that in our new facilities that we build, we bring in recycling facilities. So the new lodge in Skukuza, all grey water is recycled back into the toilets or into the gardens. So that has been built in into the development of the new lodge. And as we go through with our infrastructure upgrades, we'll start improving on those water issues. On a monthly basis, I also get the water consumption of all accommodation, so all staff accommodation, as well as ranger posts are submitted to me, and we're in the process of increasing what the people have to pay if they exceed a minimum amount of water that we feel is reasonable, and then staff will pay more
for water that exceeds those amounts, along with, of course, strong management in terms of water usage for gardens. So that is managed on a monthly basis, and we will continue to focus on bringing that down.
Kruger was such an example. Even in other parks, we have established baselines as we per our APP. Different areas use water in different different quantities. Honourable Chair, you depose retirement. We have been grappling with this for a while. There's a project underway. I want CFO to take the committee in detail in what you are doing, what options are we looking at what point we need to bite the bullet and stop it. Sunny.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable Chair. On the post-retirement medical aid obligation, it's true that it appears to be growing. And the reason for growth is it's a couple of things. The calculation is done by actuaries, which is external organizations, and which are fund managers, by looking at the trends in the market. There's certain assumptions that are also being made, and one of them is the change in the mortality of people in South Africa. What we've noticing in the trend is that people are actually living longer than expected. I mean, for example, the life expectancy of a female is now about 85 years, when the male is about 82. And all those considerations are taken into account in the calculation. What we've also been seeing is that there are people within SANParks who are employed at a particular date who qualify for the benefit, who have never accessed their options of having a medical aid. Now they're accessing those options. And the fact that now they're accessing, they're starting to subscribe to a medical aid, we have to bring them into a calculation, because that means if they retire, the organization have to carry the obligation of it. That's one element. Another thing is that in 2017, there's a number of people who have taken an early voluntary retirement from SANParks, which means that even though those people, they were paying for a portion of their medical aid, now that they are now retired and they qualify for the benefit, then that means that the organization starts paying the benefit towards them. So that's all what it increases the liability. On the front of what we're doing to actually deal with the liability, so you'll see that the amount that is shown in the financial statement is how much SANParks will pay until the last person dies. It's not that it's amount that is owed right now. So it's a calculation to the future. We have explored a number of options with the board, and one of it is including getting a legal opinion on how to approach the matter, because what we knew is that there's nothing much that we can do about it. And one of the things that we are actually looking at it, which the legal opinion have actually confirmed, is that we can change the conditions of service of those people, with the fact that as in particular people who have actually retired are no longer governed by conditions of service, because they are no longer SANParks employee. What we're also seeing that the legal opinion was also bringing to us is that there was never an obligation for SANParks to pay for this thing until people die. It's more of a contribution than a compulsory requirement. So one of the things that we are currently exploring is in what way, obviously, we have to tread it carefully, because we need to actually negotiate with unions, because most of these people, they are actually unionized. We have to actually check to what extent we can limit the increases, not to be medical aid inflation, medical aid increases, but rather use the CPIX, which is much lower than the medical aid increases. That's one element. Another element of it is to actually say, when a member who's still in service or a member or former employee of SANParks dies, the organization shouldn't have a responsibility or an obligation to add the beneficiaries, because how the scheme works is that if I die as a member, then the beneficiaries, they continue to enjoy the benefit even though they didn't work for SANParks. That's how it's structured. And so what we're asking ourselves is that perhaps maybe we need to change that we only limit the benefit to employees, not to their immediate families. because currently it covers the spouse, it covers the children up until the point where they are 21. But if there's proof that the children, even up to an age of 25, they're still in the university, we still have to make an obligation and still pay for it. So those are the things that are actually making it more expensive. As soon as we are able to get through those challenges and we get an agreement with the union, we'll be able to limit these liabilities as possible as we can. Thank you very much, Chair.
Chair, in our negotiations, we have in-house staff, but we have those retirees that must be reached out in terms of consultation, looking at the options. Chairperson, on the boundary, after there has been meetings happening between those landowners in the border with the Kruger team. Last week we had a meeting with all of them. I was part of the meeting, whereby we are working towards an agreement, a new agreement, to regularize what is happening in the western boundary. We said to them, by December, we want it concluded. That's one area, Chairperson. The second one we spoke about, what about the new entrants within the royal leadership or traditional leadership and communities? Therefore, Chair, the paper for Parliament for any form of consultation is getting ready. But the agreement is in place, of which we can share with Parliament. What are the new things we are introducing in this agreement? We felt that they had their lawyers on site. Lawyers were attempted to maintain status quo. We are saying no. The new agreement with the current thinking will prevail. Therefore, Chair, we are combining this Western Boundary new agreement as part of the reviewed or revised management plan. I want Glenn, Chair, to come in and talk to the technicalities towards the signing, and also, Chair, at what point do we come and present to the committee, or the committee might want to explore that option we requested, perhaps public hearings, because that's where the numbers of these committees can attend those meetings, and then you can hear their views. Glenn?
Thank you, CE. Honourable Members, so this process of regularisation of the Western Boundary open system began 3 years ago. We're in the final stages of that now. We have a draft document ready for submission, and after our meeting on Friday and the conclusions of that, we will insert that and be able to then have that meeting with the committee, or up to when the committee is ready for that. But essentially, as the CE says, that we want the contract signed by the 1st of December. Once that contract signs, it gives them each of them 5 years, those that sign, through their various ownership bodies, to regularize their properties, in other words, come in line with the regulations and the pillars that are required to be part of a protected area and an open system, and meet those requirements. Those that don't sign now by the 1st of December will have to go through all those processes without an agreement or any participation in processes with us, and then apply once they've regularized everything again. We already have a few parties that are ready to sign now. Klaseri, Umbabat, Mdujan are all ready to sign and have regularized what they needed to do. So there's been good progress, but we are ready to come and present when the committee is ready for that, and we can submit a draft document already if required. But progress has been very good, albeit that some parties are saying they have to get approval, of course, from their body corporates, or their constitutions have to change because they are federal systems. However, we're saying that's really their issues, not ours, and if they want to be part of an open system, there are principles they have to aspire to, and that they have to make sure those principles and obligations are met. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Shoni, on the TOPS regulation,
I sent you some information that confirmed that actually the requirement to have the top spin legal has been complied with. So did you follow it up? What are the legal people say?
Yes, Chair, we did follow up with the legal people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain it legally, but they explained it to say there are two notifications to NCOP. One does require the NCOP to have signed and concluded to say this can go ahead. The other one comes in the form of a notification, which does not necessarily mean that it's tabled in their language. Linda gave me the terminology, their legal terminologies around that. So I requested a full report to that effect. But what we were interested in was not only the explanation per se, because at the end of the day she was saying it's not fully tabled from a legal perspective, or it's not tabled from what she has and what she saw. But it did go to NCOP, but not for tabling, but for information purposes. There's a legal explanation that maybe she can provide. But I requested we'll get a report to that effect when we provide the follow-on to these issues. The second issue is that we are pursuing the process that we had already started, because part of what we're pursuing in that TOPS, there are certain elements that were updated later with the so-called new TOPS to make sure that we pursue and process that right straight away, covering those aspects, the new aspects that were already incorporated. That process was already in the parliamentary system. We just want to pursue that so that we close this. But on a cooperative arrangements with provinces, we are insisting again. We did have MINMEC and MINTEC. We are insisting again that we have to work on one system so that we don't have anyone outside the system, because it creates these unnecessary problems. But we are pursuing it, Chair, to have one system with where everyone is compliant. And we requested the legal people to sort out this thing that I cannot explain legally myself.
Okay. All right. Once you get that opinion or that legal position, you must share it with us. Because from how I was understanding the requirement to have the TOPS regulation being in force is that it needed to be tabled in the NCOP, and I saw a copy of it being tabled actually. But let's get what the lawyer says, and then they will explain to us what is their interpretation. But remember, we did say that those who don't comply with TOPS, especially in relation to using baiting as a form of hunting, must stop immediately. That we did say that it must stop, and I hope that they have stopped that practice. But that was not part of the annual report of St. Parks.
So you wanted to talk to the stats for the final item for St. Parks.
We
just showed them in the screen as from 2010 up to now. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, the request I was going to make was that I know you released the statistics, I don't know, yearly or what is the situation. You know, it's not nice to interact with this information in the public domain and we don't know about it. So we were going to make a request that once you are ready with it, to present to the minister, if we can please also be the first to receive this information when the minister releases it. So we're making that request so that we also, because we have got vested interest in this matter, in getting the numbers down. You know our proposals about strengthening of legislation to make sure that we introduce a lot of deterrent to the criminals who are doing this thing to the rhinos. But otherwise, I think it has been a very good interaction with SANParks. You seem to be on top of the situation, understanding what the issues are. If you can just concentrate on those issues raised by the Auditor General, especially compliance with legislation, particularly the supply chain management policy, which seemed to be the issue that deprived you of a clean audit. So concentrate on those ones, and but generally you seem to be a very healthy organization. Everything seemed to be fine from where we are sitting. If there are problems, we'll come closer and want to make sure that you account on whatever that is happening. But thank you very much, SANParks. Thank you, board member. Tasnim. Thank you very much, Tasnim, and the rest of the team. Maybe we can take a 5-minute adjournment and allow SOS to prepare. Then we'll be back at 22. Is it 22? Or 25 minutes to 1. Okay, thank you.